This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier for all your unwanted smells. From pets, cooking, damp basements, smoke, whatever, you need the Thunderstorm. Buy the three-pack now and use a couple for yourself and then maybe give one as a Christmas gift. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code word Howie3. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. As I mentioned in the first hour, the Biden administration has gone from blaming their border problems on Trump because they inherited a broken system to blaming it on Ron DeSantis for using illegal aliens as political pawns, as they put it, to finally blaming their issues on communism and the fact that a lot of people are fleeing communist countries. Now, I played a sound cut earlier this week from Charlie Crist, who's running against Ron DeSantis in Florida in the gubernatorial race. And it was a great mashup of these reporters asking Crist to spell out what he would do differently. And instead, every single time, I don't even have to play it for you because I can tell you exactly what he said. Every single time he pivoted back to, I wouldn't do what Ron DeSantis is doing. But he never offered up his own solution. That's why I'm so glad that Eddie Scarry wrote this piece. Because according to Eddie Scarry, and we're going to bring him on and have him explain, he says every critic of Ron DeSantis and every critic in the news media should be required to spell out exactly what the appropriate care should be for the millions of illegal immigrants dumping themselves into American taxpayer care. Eddie Scarry is a writer for The Federalist. He's one of my favorite people to interview. Eddie, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hi, Grace. Happy to be here.
All right, Eddie, so break this down for us. You are demanding that if people are going to criticize Ron DeSantis and what he's doing, and we can get into the details of that and why you don't think those criticisms are legitimate, they should have to offer up something as some sort of plan.
Right, and that's been the case, I think, for the last probably 5-6 years. There was a really great clip. It was an interview with Wolf Blitzer of CNN and Stephen Miller, if you remember that White House advisor to Donald Trump, where, there's that typical trick the media like to do where it's, well, no, everybody, Democrats all say they want border security. They're all totally fine with border security. They just don't like what you're doing. And Stephen Miller said back to him, name one thing, one measure that Democrats have put forth that would secure the border. And it's nothing. And I remember Wolf Blitzer said, well, I want to talk to you about something else now. And that's no different in this case, which is, a governor takes an action, something that was very bold, attention-grabbing, obviously, but in something that was not in any way out of bounds or, I think, shocking or obscene. But, of course, liberals in the media and Democrats are making it seem that it is. They're calling it, they're acting as though they were punished, like something was wrong. They were wronged by this. They've been offended. They've been affronted. They're being punished. And this is fascism. And just throwing every single adjective they could possibly think of at this issue while at the same time never explaining what they mean. Why is this a punishment to Democrats? They're the ones that have invited every single person south of the border to come here, welcome them to stay here. Well, why is it a problem? And now when someone says, okay, well, send them to your backyard, they don't answer that. They don't answer where these migrants should be staying, who should be taking them there, who should be caring for them, who should be cleaning and feeding them, employing them. They never answer any of that stuff because they honestly never believed that this was their problem. No, this is the problem of the border states. This is Arizona's problem, Texas's problem, Florida's problem. Yes, everyone welcome, all of Latin America's destitute, welcome to come to the U.S. so long as you stay in these select areas and don't make us have to look at you.
Yeah, something you wrote, Eddie, that I loved. You said they have to go somewhere. What better place than the cities and states with leaders that have been most vocal about everyone south of the border having a divine right to be here? It's absolutely true. Another part of this that you hit back at is this allegation that DeSantis got the migrants on the plane by lying to them. And that kind of leads into this lawsuit that is now coming out. Why do you think this is completely bogus?
Well, it's never going to stand up in any meaningful way. I guess some Democrat will find some liberal delusional judge who may side with them, and it'll eventually get overturned by a more rational one. But no, it's stupid to hang up your hope and say, well, one, on this alleged testimony from some unknown migrant who says, oh yeah, we were tricked and lied to, and they told us there were jobs waiting for us, there was financial assistance. Well, no, the state of Massachusetts itself, which is where Martha's Vineyard is, promotes the fact that it's basically a sanctuary state. They have all these programs in place for migrants who are seeking asylum or refugee status. If the idea is to bust the DeSantis administration and, you know, personnel as saying, you know, come with us, we're going to take you to this place where they have these things for you. Well, it's spelled out by the state's own government that they do have these, they do offer these services. It's all but a welcome mat and a red carpet saying, no, come here, come here, come here. Well, someone like Ron DeSantis says, all right, I'll take you up on that. Here, take 50. Ah, no, you can't do that. This is political retaliation. This is fascism. You're punishing us. It's going to be to see it play out in court will be a whole another level to the madness. I mean, it already looked really ridiculous, but to try and fight it on a legal level, I think is going to further expose the hysterics of the liberals and the media and the Democratic Party as being completely unserious about the issue, about securing the border, about anything with regard to controlling immigration in this country.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, before we get into what KJP said, you mentioned that there's no solutions, but the Behar County Sheriff said yesterday on CNN, he wasted no time before he got on CNN, and he talked about how there's a long wait for tables in San Antonio, and how then he urged restaurants in San Antonio to hire the 2 million illegal aliens who have crossed during the Biden border crisis. So you just said no one's offering solutions, but what do you make of that one, Eddie?
I give that man all the credit in the world for finally saying out loud the logical end to every single train of thought that if you were to put yourself in the shoe of a Democrat to where they're going with this, let them all in. Let them all in, it's fine, because that's basically what he said. He said, you know what, this is something we need to deal with, it, or to come to terms with, that the border is basically going to be open, there's constantly going to be people coming here, and we might as well suit them up with jobs and just accept it. That's exactly what every single Democrat, other than the ones that are actually in border states that represent border districts that have to deal with this stuff, that's what every single other leading Democrat in Washington believes. They just won't say it out loud. So credit to that man.
Yeah, he's getting a lot of credit, Eddie, on Twitter. He's getting plenty of credit today. Another cut that I would like to play and have your reaction to, because this is another thing I keep hearing from the left when it comes to DeSantis's or, you know, even Greg Abbott or Governor Ducey, their decision to move migrants from one place to another. KJP says they are putting people's lives at risk. This is cut 9.
Has the president reached out to any of these governors?
So here's the thing, and I was asked this question earlier today. I don't know why we would reach out to a governor or governors who are clearly playing a political game, right? It is something that they're doing not to find a solution, but to literally put people's lives at risk.
So she thinks that by sending illegal aliens, Eddie, to Martha's Vineyard, that DeSantis is putting migrant lives at risk. I know you're very familiar with what's actually happening at the border and some of the inhumane policies and the death and destruction that is happening there, whether it be people drowning or, you know, children making this trek for thousands of miles. What do you make of KJP saying that DeSantis is the one putting lives at risk?
Well, she should describe exactly how I think it ties perfectly to my piece, that this is one more question that I do say that any liberal in the media, any Democrat should be forced and required to articulate. Where is the abuse? No, the abuse ends when they get to the border. Once they cross and throw themselves into the care of the American taxpayer, everything awful that they've been through and will go through is behind them. Now a free ticket to Martha's Vineyard, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, Delaware, any of that is just going to be a complete breeze compared to what they will have been through by the time they actually get to the U.S. So another one of those questions that I raised, which of course the Democrats can't answer because they're not being sincere about this, is if there is any abuse that migrants are enduring at the hands of DeSantis or any governor or other official government official who's shuffling around migrants, they should articulate what that is.
Yeah, and one last thing. I'm speaking with Eddie Scarry, and if you want to follow Eddie, you can follow him on Twitter at @escarry. He's a great follow. He also has a book out, Liberal Misery, How the Hateful Left Sucks Joy Out of Everything and Everyone. It's a fabulous book. I want to get your reaction, Eddie, to one more thing, because I found this very amusing. So Politico had a little bit of insight that the White House, Joe Biden's administration, is not happy with Bill Malugin from Fox News because he's covering the southern border, and he's a little thorn in their side. I mean, you're someone who covers stuff that a lot of other people don't want to cover because it either, you know, it doesn't play well with the left-wing media or it makes people uncomfortable. What do you make of this administration focusing on real reporters rather than all of the disasters that are going on under their watch?
Right. They're complaining that this particular reporter, this Fox reporter, isn't focusing on the quote-unquote root causes. If you remember, Kamala Harris, our trusty vice president, said her job wasn't really the border. It was the root causes of what's leading to all this obscene migration that's coming to the U.S. I think the same people were complaining and cited in that political report that, oh, well, he's just looking and fulfilling a narrative that's on the right about the border being overrun and the millions and the crush of migrants making their way into the U.S. He should really be talking about the root causes, which is, of course, I guess, poverty and gang violence and any other problem under the sun in these destitute countries. That's for a foreign correspondent. That's for the media that actually works and operates in those countries. That's that country's problem. Our problem, our immediate most pressing problem, is the border, and heaven forbid someone actually notice it. Heaven forbid that a single reporter actually show up on the scene and show the people pushing themselves across the Rio Grande, throwing themselves into the care of overwhelmed agents. No, we should instead be talking about the root causes, just like Kamala Harris, and we see how productive she is on that.
Eddie Scarry is a columnist at The Federalist. Again, his book is Liberal Misery, How the Hateful Left Sucks Joy Out of Everything and Everyone. Eddie, please tell people where they can buy your book.
Go on Amazon and just search Liberal Misery, Eddie Scarry, or just Liberal Misery, or my name. It'll come up anyway.
There's plenty of liberal misery out there. I have a feeling Eddie could write another book about this. This could be like a three-parter. Thank you very much, Eddie Scarry. We love having you on. Many of us think of Cape Cod as the place to be during the summer, but you know what? Fall and winter are super special too. Actually, Jared went to the Nassau Beach Inn. Was it the fall or the winter, Jared?
It was the winter. I went early December, right as they were putting the Christmas trees out, which was a fantastic visual. But it is the most tranquil place that I've ever been. It's right on the Cape, and anybody who's been to the Cape in winter knows that as great and as fun as it is in the summer, the winter, it's quiet, it's serene, it's perfect. And every room at the Nauset Beach Inn is 45 seconds from the water. I mean, you are on the beach. They have fire pits, so you can sit outside around these gas-fired fire pits even in winter when it's cold.
They're pet-friendly. They've got very spacious rooms with two queen beds. And you know what, Jared? Just to add the cherry on top here, the special winter rates go from November through March 31st. So anyone listening right now, I'm going to let you know what those winter rates are. For the weekdays, it's just $119.99 a night. And for the weekends, it's $149.99 a night. So it's overlooking Nassau Beach. As Jared said, you can't find a more beautiful spot inside the Cape Cod National Seashore. Every room commands a superb view of the great outer beach, like Jared said. And so this is a really great deal. Again, $119.99 on weekdays, $149.99 a night on weekends. That goes from November through March 31st. Off-season rates till the end of October. So reservations fill up quickly. To book, just go to NausetBeachInn.com. That's NausetBeachInn.com. We're going to focus on the border in this hour. I have a lot of sound to get to. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley, for a delightful afternoon.
Skyrockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop.
You guys have it, I think.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Afternoon delight.
Hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key, leave, and get yourself free.
Great song. This actually should just be a permanent bumper. I love it. And I'm team carpool. I carpooled when I was a kid. I did my part. Why can't some of these world leaders, Trudeau and all these other people, they could meet at the hotel lobby, they could listen to drunk Trudeau sing a little bit of Bohemian Rhapsody, and then they could get on a bus, Gus, and they could carpool to the UN. I don't understand why everyone needs their own car. It's not good for the environment. And tomorrow I will have props and a tuba to explain it to everyone. By the way, just one side note
here. Okay, Gus.
Okay.
Gus. Gus Bus.
Excellent job today with the sound, Jared. I have to give you credit there. Before we get into what is happening at the border and the root causes, you know, Eddie Scarry did a great job of mentioning that the borders are, Kamala Harris is supposed to get to the root causes of all of this.
Oh, yeah.
But alas, here we are. Doesn't seem to be working. She's been there once. Think she did a little drive-by. And there hasn't been a lot of progress made. You know what these administration officials should have to do? They should have to fill out timesheets. Because we only get like one little comment on their calendar. Like, oh, she ate her breakfast and got the PDB. Well, what about for the next, I'm not even going to say 10 or 12 hours because I know they're not working that much. How about 8? How about you have to fill out, remember Michael Scott had to fill out what he was doing all day and he just wrote free play from like 11 to 2? I need to know what the borders are is doing to get to the root causes. And I am going to talk about the latest root cause that has popped up that the Biden administration, you know, usually they're pro-communism, but right now they're actually using it as a shield. So they have to be anti-communism. But before we even get into that, if we're going to talk about Kamala Harris, I am worried that we'll forget to play one of my favorite cuts of the day. And in order to introduce it, Jared, could I get a little bit of where in the world is Kamala Harris?
Freedom!
Tell me where in the world is
Kamala Harris.
Tell me where in the world.
Tell me where can't she be?
That's what a two-time.
Well, I'll tell you where she is. She was at a university in South Carolina, and she started talking about how the Biden administration has invested in community banks. Then she got stuck on one word in particular. I'm not going to tell you what it is. We're just going to play it, and we'll see if you can figure it out for yourself. This is Vice President Kamala Harris, Cut 20.
So we invested an additional $12 billion into community banks, because we know community banks are in the community and understand the needs and desires of that community, as well as the talent and capacity of community.
Can I'm going to count it this time, Jared, if you would be so kind as to just do one more replay of that, please.
So we invested an additional $12 billion into community banks, because we know community banks are in the community and understand the needs and desires of that community, as well as the talent and capacity of community.
Five times in like a 10-second cut. We know community banks are in the community. I'm getting that tattooed. That's a lower back tattoo right there.
Charlie Baker himself could have not said community more than that.
I almost forgot that used to be his word during COVID. I used to have to sit through his press conferences.
Folks and communities.
Community, community, community. It's really, I can't imagine that anyone's writing this down. Like no one wrote that sentence.
There's a lot at stake here.
That's got to be a little improv conversation from Kamala Harris. Nice job. Now let's go to what's happening at the border. We're going to save some of these cuts for the other side. But KJP and Joe Biden, he actually was asked a question. And I'm going to talk about how I stand by my original tactic for reporters out there, not reporters like Bill Malugin, who are, you know, at the border wasting everyone's time, but real reporters that are at the White House press briefings. I have a tactic if you want to get Joe to answer your questions. And every time anyone uses this tactic, it does work. I'll have that example of Joe speaking off the cuff or going rogue when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone. I'll never forget, it was a couple months ago, Joe Biden was walking by the reporters who have now just become kind of cheerleaders, audience members. They don't really serve any purpose. They're not really asking any questions. Peter Ducey gets one once in a while. He gets called a one-horse pony soldier, trends on Twitter for a little bit. And that is our news media. That is the most transparent administration in history. But, and I can't remember exactly what the question was. It might have been...
I hardly remember those days.
It might have been the question about the polls where he said, check the polls, Jack. About the fact that...
Good for you, Jack.
The fact that nobody in his own party wants him to run. But if you bring up Trump, or if you bring up a Biden failure, and you do it in such a way that dings his ego a little bit, that, you know, takes aim at his glass jaw, you have a significantly better chance at getting him to answer your question. Because no matter how much the elevator music playing handlers tell him, come right off stage when you're done. Do not talk to anybody. Don't look at anybody. Don't talk to anybody. You come right off the stage or no ice cream for you. If he gets a question that strikes a nerve, he is a narcissist. He does not like to be told that he's not doing as well as Trump. That is kind of the secret weapon. Bring up Trump against him. Or maybe do the old, what do you say to people? You know, what do you say to people who think you're a bigger failure than Donald Trump?
That's
going to get him to snap his head and answer. And we want that. We want Joe off script. I'm not interested in what Joe delivered at the UN. I will play some of the global warming cuts in the 2 o'clock hour, only because we have our own exclusive cuts from the climate protest that occurred today in Boston. But in general, the speech is, you know what you're getting. He's reading the best he can off a teleprompter. I want the uncut, uncensored Joe Biden. And the only time we seem to get that is if he's defending his honor. Now, he was walking out.
True international effort to pressure.
Walking away from the podium yesterday, he was in the White House. I think it was the real White House. The fake White House hasn't been getting as much play lately, which I feel bad for. Who knows how much that cost to build that beautiful Truman Show-esque set. But he was walking out and he was asked about the border. This is cut 30.
On the border, why is the border more overwhelmed under your watch, Mr. President?
Because there are three countries that are never have. There are fewer immigrants coming from Central America and from Mexico. This is a totally different circumstance. What's on my watch now is Venezuela, Cuba, and Nicaragua. And the ability to send them back to those states is not rational. You could send them back and have them wait. We're working with Mexico and other countries to see if we can stop the flow. But that's the difference.
Excuses, excuses, excuses. I have it worse than the other guys. It's worse for me and it's not fair. And no one's giving me any credit for all the great stuff I'm doing except for James Taylor. Don't you feel bad for him? He's getting such a grilling every 8 months. It must be tough.
I'm not a geography major, but how many Cubans are coming over the southern border?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
Because that seems like a bit of an extra end around. That's taken the long way, if you know what I mean.
You know what, Jared? We didn't even set this up beforehand. That's how in sync we are today. I'm very glad you asked that question. This is from the New York Post. President Biden defended his management of the U.S.-Mexico border crisis Tuesday by claiming that record-high illegal border crossings are because people are fleeing communism. I just want to add in here, he's not the only one who said that. KJP, the White House press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, also said this. Can I have cut four, please, Jared?
Our heads up did not come from Governor DeSantis because his only goal is, as he's made it really clear, is to create chaos and use immigrants fleeing communism as political pawns. So it's about creating political theater for him. It's not about getting to a solution. We have a solution in front of us.
All right. So this is clearly the new talking point. We can't blame Trump. We can't. Well, we can. But, you know, it's losing its oomph. We're letting the New York Attorney General blame Trump today. You know, only so many people can blame him at once. So, and we don't really want to blame DeSantis because we're already focused on DeSantis with the illegal aliens who are being cruelly sent to Martha's Vineyard, the most beautiful place in the world. So who can we, what can we pin this on? Oh, they're fleeing communism. All right. Well, that is despite the fact that most migrants are not. In fact, Biden invoked communism, despite the fact that just 35% of migrants in August left the authoritarian socialist governments of Cuba, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. Now, that is still, that's a big chunk, I would say, 35%. But you can't blame the entire thing on that. No one believes that. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre also attributed the migrant influx to communism. It's another excuse. They only make up part of the surge at the border that we were told up until like 6 days ago wasn't even happening. I was told by the border czar herself, who I have no reason not to trust, because you've ever heard her talk about the moon, you know this woman's got her finger on the pulse of what's happening. She told me that the border was secure. Alejandro Mayorkas told me that the border was secure. Karine Jean-Pierre told me the border was secure. And now I'm being told that not only is the border not secure, but the reason why it's not secure is because people are fleeing communism. Make it make sense. You can't. You can't, and it doesn't. I want to play another cut while we're focused on this. But before I do, let's go to the callers here. Mr. Garcia, you are up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Mr. Garcia.
Hey, Gray, how you going? If Trump wins 2024, I don't want talk to talk. Close the border, send all the criminal illegal back to the country. We can pay the airline ticket. We can pay everything. But we want them out and clear the criminal. And we need to do that right away. But not to talk to talk. When you do talk to talk, Trump doing the worst. And that's why we in this mess, because Trump was talking, he never complete the work. He did almost maybe 80%, but he never did 100%.
I think that if Trump runs in 2024 and he becomes the president, there's going to be a lot less consideration for how things will go over in the media. There just has to be. He has to know at this point. You can't win for losing. I mean, you got to do exactly what you want to do, exactly what you promised to do. You cannot worry about, well, people will be mad if I fire Dr. Fauci, or people will be mad if I do this. You got to play by their rules. And that is a really great revenge, is playing by their rules, because they've thrown out the rules. You know, all those norms we were told about, you know, we got to restore the norms. That didn't happen. So I don't think there'll be an issue with that. But what I do want to say is I want to play a cut here from Mara Gay, because there's this new trend that's happening. We talked about it yesterday because there was a piece in the New York Times that described the soft edges of Donald Trump and how DeSantis is even worse than Trump because he lacks his charisma. And that is a theme that we are going to continue to see. Cut 11.
It is a great political play for him. I mean, what a sad fact. I think that the politics of the Republican Party is just play to the base as long and as hard as you can. And that's what this is. I don't know how he's going to pivot from that to, it makes me think 20 years ago, compassionate conservatism of George Bush. I mean, we're living in a completely different universe, obviously. But at the end of the day, he doesn't care about the migrants. He doesn't care about a solution to the...
Compassionate conservatism. That's what George Bush was doing? Because I remember a lot of people not liking George Bush when he was president. And I remember a lot of people, actually, I remember a lot of people liking Trump until he won the nomination. And that's when he became the worst guy. And now we're already being told that DeSantis is worse than Trump. It seems like there's a trend here. If I were just a little bit more insightful, I could pick out what that trend is, but I can't. By the way, in a hypothetical 2024 presidential primary in the Sunshine State, DeSantis now leads Trump 48% to 40%. This is USA Today in Suffolk poll. Just wanted to throw that out there because it is Florida. It really has no bearing on what's going to happen in other states. Obviously, DeSantis is the governor of Florida, so you have to add that in. But it's very interesting nonetheless. Wayne, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Wayne.
Hey, Grace, just a couple of quick points. They're not fleeing communism. They're pursuing opportunism. And also, the days of compromise are over in government. It's funny when I've got a little post-it note that says, it's not a lie if you believe it. And when all these Democrats are just spewing, like, all of these cuts to the appointment, like, how can anyone think like this? They're not lying. They believe it. And there's no compromise with that. There's just defeat at the ballot box and then throw them under the bus and go on with, you know, the proper way to run a government. That's all.
And there's no plan either. You know, we talked about this with Eddie Scarry. The only plan is to say Republicans are bad. And you heard Mara Gay inferring that, too, you know, that, you know, they want to play to the base over and over again. It's this idea that the base is these credulous boomer rubes and we have no compassion and we're mean and we're cruel just because we expect these blue states and these blue politicians that support all of these open border policies to actually have to deal with some of the consequences of it. We are such terrible, terrible people. We are not compassionate like the people at the Washington Post Christmas party. We don't have the strange new respect of compassionate conservatives like Bill Kristol and Jennifer Rubin. Now, one person who did have an idea on how to fix this is Javier Salazar, who's the Bejar County Sheriff, who was talking yesterday about how they plan on suing Ron DeSantis and they think that he committed a crime. And again, Ron DeSantis pointed out there wasn't all of this attention when 53 migrants died in San Antonio in the back of a truck. But it's nice that some of these officials are, and I shouldn't say some because I'm sure there was a lot of officials who spoke out. But it's crazy that this is getting so much more attention from the media than that did. Let's play. This is Javier's suggestion. Cut 36.
You know, I think at some point you're going to have to embrace the fact that this is happening to a certain extent. I would say, look, you've got people that want to work. They want to do an honest day's work for an honest day's pay, not for slave wages. Give them an honest day's pay. And you've got a shortage of workers. If you go to any restaurant in San Antonio, Texas right now, you're going to wait a long time to get your table, even though there's empty tables because there's not enough wait staff to wait on you. You're going to wait a long time for your food because there's not enough people to cook it in the back. Half the cooks maybe aren't showing up to work or they've quit. Hire these folks, give them the opportunity to work legally, and then make sure that the employers that are employing them are doing it the right way and paying them correctly. And then here,
I am not a lawyer, but how do you allow someone to work legally if they're not in the country legally? These people aren't here on work visas. People who are crossing the border illegally are here illegally. So that's a little part of his plan that doesn't make sense. As the DeSantis War Room pointed out on Twitter, that would mean those businesses, those restaurants, would be violating federal law. And I guess violating federal law is okay if the Democrats tell you you should do it, but it's not okay if a Republican does it. Do I have this correct?
Yes, and that cut also is another what we always talk about, the bigotry of soft expectations. Was dripping from that cut. Put them
the
in restaurants.
The soft bigotry of
let
low
them cook,
expectations,
let them wait tables.
Yes.
You know what? The computer industry needs people. There are lots of industries that need help. There are Fortune 500 companies that need accountants. There are people. There are other jobs other than waiting tables and cooking food.
Yeah, it is. You're
needs
right.
Needs to be filled, Javier.
Yeah, you're right. It does show the condescension of the liberal mindset. And also what one of the texters pointed out, and he wanted me to ask Eddie Scarry, was why did the planes landing in Martha's Vineyard seem to cause more uproar than the buses being sent to D.C., than the buses being sent to New York City? Like, why did that trigger the left so hard compared to the other ones? It can't be, oh, because it was on a plane, because Biden was sending people on planes to New York. What about Martha's Vineyard got the ball rolling as far as the Democrats facing reality to some extent? Our listeners love the Thunderstorm air purifier. One customer texted in, the Eden Pure Thunderstorm has been so great. Hockey season is starting and driving several hours in the car with my 12-year-old and his stinky hockey bag is now much easier to deal with. After two games on Saturday, we can bring his sweat-soaked equipment into the house rather than letting it freeze in the car this winter. Thanks, Eden Pure. It does work really well with that kind of musty smell that just lingers, whether it be food, tobacco, a stinky hockey bag. It gets rid of it right away, Jared.
Yeah, one of Howie's VIPs was saying his wife sold clothes online, and before she sold the clothes, she'd put them in a plastic bag with the Thunderstorm connected to an extension cord, and that actually gave him the idea. I tried that with my lawn shoes, and I put them in there for about an hour, and I'm not going to say they smell great. They're lawn shoes, but they smell a lot better.
Yeah, it can make a huge improvement. So for all your unwanted smells, whether it be from pets, lawn shoes, cooking, hockey bags, damp basement, smoke, whatever, even if you have allergies, it's good for that. You need the Thunderstorm. And right now, you can get the 3-pack, use a couple for yourself, and then maybe give one as a Christmas gift. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Use code word GRACE3. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Code word GRACE3. Shipping is free. We will be right back with more of this crazy sound from the media that is just melting down over Democrats actually having to follow their own rules. That's as simple as I can put it. You know, don't write a check. Don't let your behind. Is that how it goes? Why do I always mess this up?
Don't let your mouth.
Oh, there we go.
That your behind can't cash.
It's a tricky one. It's true, though. They wrote a lot of checks, and now we're asking them to cash them, and they're not very excited about it. We will be right back with more sound. I also have some Dr. Fauci news, just a ton more to get to in today's show. Don't go anywhere. If you want to call in, it's 844-500-4242. We'll be right back with the Grace Curley Show.
M.B. Martha's Vineyard Hall of Fame.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Global unrest is battering the food supply chain and the energy markets, and it's incumbent on you to be prepared. So get ready with ReadyWise. Go to ReadyWise.com and use code GRACE10 to get 10% off your next purchase. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which lawsuit is more useless, New York versus Trump or migrants versus DeSantis?
Oh, they're both so useless, but I'm going to go with New York. And I'll explain why in the next hour.
That's polling at 36%, in the lead at 64%, migrants versus DeSantis.
All right, let's go to Kendall. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Kendall.
Hi there, Grace Curley. I enjoy your show, and you are a ray of sunshine in these dark times.
Thank you. What's going on?
Sorry, I had it together when I called, but while I was holding, I ended up in tears again, like I do every day.
Where are you calling from, Kendall?
I live in San Antonio, Texas, Bexar County, with Sheriff Salazar.
Yeah.
I am 55 years old. This is the first time in my life I have changed my behavior after dark because of the rise in crime. And this fool is worried about DeSantis and what he's doing, and his main priority is the plight of illegals. I am fed up. I am fed up. We are all full of stupid in San Antonio, Texas, with Sheriff Salazar and Greg Popovich. And that's all I have to say.
Well, Kendall, I so appreciate you calling up, and stay strong. I'm sure it's a tricky situation there. And you guys don't get any sympathy from the mainstream media. They save all that for the people in Martha's Vineyard. But Kendall, we appreciate you calling in, and call back, okay?
Thanks so much.
Yeah, God bless. And
for those not in the know, Greg Popovich is the head coach of the San Antonio Spurs. He's basically Steve Kerr with a beard. So
yeah, very, very woke. Very woke. Thank you for that call, though, Kendall. I know there's a lot of people who are dealing with this every single day. And like I said, the compassion from MSNBC or from KJP or from John Harwood or Scott Pelley, the compassion is only reserved for the people in Edgartown, the people in D.C. Not getting a lot of compassion if you're from San Antonio. But you'll get it here, that's for sure. 844-500-4242. We're going to switch it up to some lighter things in the next hour, so don't go anywhere. Global warming in Boston when we come back.
Tell Buffy to chirp me.